Thank you so much for sharing with us. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. And again, it's great to be with you. I will just covet your prayers for our ministry. I suspect you've wondered what this COVID-19 has done to help ministries. And I feel like you've wondered that. I hope you've wondered that. I hope you've prayed for the ministry. And it has taken an effect. As we have been shut down here, so our counterparts around the world have been shut down, most of them more forcibly than us here. And unfortunately, they don't have the resources that we have. So many places, if they were shut down, and they have been, folks don't have Wi-Fi in their homes. They don't have any platform. The churches don't have any way to feed a live feed into a home. So there's no ministry that's able to take place. And these men have literally been restricted in some places to their homes, and they cannot leave. There's some countries where they can leave one day out of the week, depending on their first letter of their last name. So maybe Friday's your day to go get groceries. And of course, when they go there on Friday to get the groceries, there may or may not be the things that they need there because there's been a run on things. And the supply chain there, we ran out of some things here that we thought, I mean, in America, in this, did you think these things would happen here for us? Well, imagine if it happened here for us, what it was like in a third world country. Much, much worse than here. Then imagine if you have no money in the bank, you have no food in the cupboards, whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, and they shut the country down and you can't work, and you were anticipating working that day to make enough money to buy food to feed your family, and all of a sudden you can't leave your house. Now imagine where that puts you. So many of our men contacted us and said, "Brother Ron, our people that we don't even know are coming to our homes and begging for food just to feed their families." And we, what can we say? What can we do? And so we have tried to raise some additional funds. We've been able to do that. We had folks that sent some monies in. We've been able to funnel about $30,000 to men around the world and just meet some needs, and with an effort and a hope that it's going to give the missionary a platform then to preach the gospel. But the fear, the separation, all the things that we faced here, that they're facing around the world. But the guys are saying this: it is a really good opportunity for them to preach the gospel to people. And in this time, in this tough time, the ministry still goes on. It can't stop. It can't stop. And actually, that's what we're going to look at in our message tonight, Luke chapter number 5, verse number 1. Brother Mark, thank you, my friend. I do appreciate the friendship of Brother Mark, Miss Laura, and the church folks here. And what a blessing they've been through the years, and I pray God's blessing upon this ministry. Luke 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," or Sea of Galilee, "and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.' And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken." Father, we ask you now to encourage our hearts through your word this evening. Lord, I've been encouraged here today. It's good to see some old friends, familiar faces, and I've enjoyed the spirit that's here in this church. I always do. And Lord, folks that love you, they love missions, and I pray that you will speak to us, you will challenge us, you will encourage us. And Lord, as folks are praying about what to give to missions this year, will you help them to purpose, give them a figure that they can purpose in their heart to give. And then as church decides what to do and whether or not to take on new missionaries or new mission projects, Lord, so many decisions and so many areas that call for the money, and this church can't meet every need. So Lord, reveal to them the needs that you would have them to be a part of. Lord, I'll need your help, and I'll pray that you'll do it. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. In that video, you saw Dr. Scotty Drake back in 1994. It's interesting. There was a young man. He was a soldier. He was in the military. He went to Germany in 1993. He was invited to a Baptist church there. And early in 1994, he actually got saved. And later in 1994, he was called to preach out of that same church. And he had this thought. He knew that God was going to use him in missions, but he didn't know how that would be. And of course, that young man at the time, you're looking at him now, that was me in 1994. I went, fulfilled my military obligation. Went back home to West Virginia, was a youth pastor for 3 years, pastored a church for 3 years, and in 2002, a gentleman, Daryl Bonifacius, did the folks know Brother Daryl here? Brother Daryl got lost, and if you know Brother Daryl, that's about what he does a lot of. He got lost, and he showed up at our church. I didn't know anything about Help Ministries. Preacher didn't know anything at all. But this guy coming to our church, and we were so far back up the holler in West Virginia that I'm not sure the devil even knew where we were at. But he found us there, and he began to tell me about this organization called Help Ministries, and that's how God brought us together. We had 3 missions conferences with Help Ministries. In fact, the first year, people liked it so good, and the church prior to us taking the pastorate had never had missions conferences. Preacher, for 2 years, we had 2 conferences. One in the spring, one in the fall. One in the spring, one in the fall. And we picked up every missionary in every conference, and we did that for 2 years, and then we had one our 3rd year. And it was in the 3rd year conference that God would call us to go with Help Ministries. But in the same year that God put it in the heart of Scotty Drake to start the ministry, God had put it in my heart to be involved in missions, but he didn't tell me all the details. You know, sometimes God starts with some small steps. In fact, that's what happens in the story we look at tonight. I hate to use the word story. The biblical account story kind of maybe speaks to the fact that it's not true, that it's but this is a biblical account. This is true. The Lord is going to teach the people. The people are pressing upon him to hear the word of God. And verse 2, and there's 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. Now, a boat is wonderful. A fishing boat is wonderful. But can I ask you something, preacher? If it's sitting by the lake, what is it going to do? Absolutely nothing. Now these men have fished all night. They haven't caught anything. And they're washing their nets. I read one commentator said if I'd fished all night and I wouldn't be washing my nets, I'd be burning the nets. But here they are, they fished all night. They're tired. They're disgruntled. They haven't caught anything. They're going to have to go home and face their wives and say, hey, what did you catch? And honey, I'm sorry, but we didn't catch anything. Now, if we were fishermen here, we could make up a story about the big one that we caught, but these guys couldn't do that because they're going to come home empty-handed. So they fished all night. They haven't caught a thing. I want to speak to you tonight about the person that God uses or what happens when Jesus borrows your boat. That's what happened here. He borrowed a boat. And verse 3 says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. So there's 2 ships standing by. And they fished all night. They haven't caught anything. And the people are pressing upon the Lord to hear him. I mean, they're pressing him. And so he asked Peter, he prayed him, the Bible said. So he in essence, he's saying, hey, man, do you care if I borrow your boat for a minute? And he asked, and he didn't force himself in the boat. I mean, he was God. He could have just said, hey, I'm commandeering this vessel. I made it. I made the trees. I made the water. But no, he prayed Peter. He asked Peter, would you allow me to use your boat? And Jesus Christ stepped into his boat. And the Bible says, and he sat down and he taught the people. Now, this would give him a little space, a distance from the people. Now, can you imagine? Have you ever been by the seashore, preacher? You know how loud it is there, the seagulls, the birds, and the water lapping up against the shore? Do you know how loud? Now, maybe they turned the microphone system up. I don't know, but I'm here to tell you, the man must have had some kind of voice to sit down in a boat by the sea with the wind blowing and the birds talking and all the kids running around and doing what they do. Of course, they're probably sitting down in those days. And he taught the people out of the ship. But before he did that, he said, Peter, I want you to just thrust out a little from the land. He's later going to tell Peter to launch out into the deep. You know what I believe? I believe all of us here tonight, God either wants us to A, thrust out a little, or B, launch out. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the same thing Peter thought. Here's what Peter thought. Lord, this is not the time to fish. We fished all night. We haven't caught anything. Now, everybody in this day knew that the time to catch fish in the Sea of Galilee was at night. And the place to catch the fish wasn't in the deep, but it was around the shallows. So the person that God uses, number one, is going to have to yield control of his vessel to the Lord. Did you catch it? It said the Lord prayed Peter. He didn't demand it. He just requested it. I remember the day, preacher, when God stepped on my boat. And at that time, I felt like he was saying, thrust out a little. And I did that. I was willing to do that. And then I felt like later the time would come when he said, okay, you've thrust it out. Now we thrust out. I went back to West Virginia. I took a job as a youth pastor, but I still worked another job. I took a job as a pastor, but I still was a small church when we took it. In fact, we had about 20 people when we took the church, and there's no way 20 people could pay a pastor, and they wanted to give me $1,000 a month, preacher. And I was making good money at the time. I had a great job. I said, tell you what I'll do. I'll take 500 of it, and the other 500, we're going to use it for a missions project, but I get to say where every month you're going to give me, just like it's my money, and I get to say where we send the $500 every month. I'm going to take half, and then we're going to spend half, and that's what we did. And so we had $500 every month, and that kind of started our missions program. And the people saw that, and we three missionaries before, and at the end of 3 years, we were supporting 76 missionaries, preacher. And why? Because the people just saw. So we thrust out a little. We thrust out a little. But I lived by my mom and dad, close 10 miles away. My daughter was the first grandchild. My son was the second grandchild from my mom and dad, and rode four-wheelers all over the property. And I mean, my life was good. And the Lord, you know, he didn't barge on the boat. He didn't force his hand. But then I remember the day came when God called us to come with Help Ministries. And I felt like, okay, wait a minute. Now, this is not thrusting out a little here. This is launching out into the deep. But you know, I didn't have to do it. But the person that God uses will just yield themselves willingly. Now, Peter didn't have to do it. In fact, Peter, the person that God uses, I mean, they're going to yield themselves. They will sometimes fish all night and catch nothing. There's been times in my ministry where I really felt like, my goodness, I am not accomplishing anything. I'm failing miserably. These men, they fished all night, they catch nothing. And if we're not careful, we can say the same thing that Peter said. I mean, you know, preacher, how many churches are having full missions conferences like you're having right now under these set of circumstances, percentage-wise, in the halls of help ministries, for lack of a better way to put it? Not very many. You know why? Because they feel like, we just can't do it right now. Now, wait a minute. What are they saying? This is not the time to fish. This is not the time. I mean, this is just, Lord, I don't know if you understand, but this is not a good time to do what you're asking me to do. But can I ask you, when the world shut down in March, did the gates of hell close? Did the devil take a sabbatical? Did death step down off the throne and let people? Did sin usher itself out of our presence and its effects? No, in fact, it ramped itself up. And I mean, the devil's working overtime right now. And the gates of hell are open. And there's access, and sin is rampant, and the fear. If there's ever a time that we need to fish, this is the time to do it. Not quit. And I get the fear. I get that. But wait a minute. God's called us to do this thing. Hey, you know, we hear this, the new normal, the new normal. I reject the new normal. Amen. Now, I am for being smart and sensitive to people and understand that people are in different places. I know I've had some folks here, and I said, look, I respect wherever you stand. I do. I'm not going to argue with you. Wherever you stand, that's good. You're right, because it's you who are standing there. But we must still... We must still send missionaries. We must still send the gospel. Nevertheless, he said, but you know what, Lord? It doesn't make sense to me, but if you want us to do it, we're going to do it. So this person that God uses is going to follow the instructions of the master, even when they don't make sense. Have you ever had God tell you to do something, preacher, and you just didn't, just couldn't figure it? But you just trust him. You just trust him. This is not the time. This is not the time. This is not the time for a missions conference. This is not the time, I mean, maybe a service or a Sunday, but a full conference, preacher? Are you crazy? Do you think we're going to take on new missionaries right now? You know what? I think we should. I think we should. I wouldn't be here. I'd be home with my wife. And as good looking as you guys are, as much as I love you, she's prettier, and I love her more. The key, what was the key? The key was Peter's faith in the Word of God. It didn't make sense to him, but God said it, and so his faith in God's Word was the key. Nevertheless, at thy word we'll do it. We've toiled all the night. We've taken nothing. But he did it. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. The person that God uses, the person that yields his vessel, that gives his boat, will not be able to do it alone, but will need the help of others. So much can be accomplished when we do it together. And that has been the hallmark of success for Help Ministries. You know, sometimes we as independent Baptists, we are so independent, we don't want to join together and work together with other people. But you know what? That's not the case for Tiftonia Baptist Church. That's not the case for the other 700 churches that send support in monthly, and the other 300 to 400 churches that send it in quarterly or yearly. In a course of a year, we'll have 1,000 to 1,200 churches that send support in to our ministry. And it's not the case for them, because they have decided to work together to accomplish something. Now, let's be honest. If Tiftonia, if you just tried to do it by yourself, you could do some good things. If the other 700 churches just tried to do it by themselves, they could do some good things. But we have decided to work together, and we have accomplished. I say we, not we as Help Ministries, but we as your church and the other churches and the staff of Help Ministries, we have accomplished some great things that we couldn't even begin to tell you about because it's too big to count. Why? Because we work together. Scotty saw early on that there's no way he could do it. And he asked those preachers, hey, will you help us? Can we work together? And that's what has happened. It's been amazing. It's been amazing to see what the Lord has done. So this person will not be able to do it alone. He'll need the help of others. We're not reservoirs, Warren Wiersbe said, but a channel of blessing to share with others what God has graciously given to us. When they had thus done, verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come, this is James and John, and help them. And they came and filled, look at this, both the ships, so that they began to sink. Wait a minute. The amount of fish that we need to catch, we can't even handle it. That it will sink this ship. But I'm here to tell you, the Lord, the ship, somehow, when they began to sink, they got the fish to the seashore because the Lord was involved in that thing. And when we do our part, He steps in and does His part. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. The person that God uses will never, ever count himself worthy of being used. I fought the Lord for quite some time about preaching. And the reason why is I looked at preachers and I thought, man, they're up here. And I'd look at myself in the mirror, Brother Mark, and I'm just down here with everybody else. I said, Lord, I'm not in that class. That's not who I am. The Lord said, I know what class you're in. But you don't feel worthy to be used of God. If you're a Sunday school teacher, Brother Jim, you don't feel worthy of teaching those kids, do you? You're just thankful that God chose you to make a difference. Has God ever stepped on your boat? You ever stepped in it? You realize if God wanted to use a boat that day, the only way He was going to be able to use one, preacher, was if somebody gave it to Him. Because He subjected Himself to, you said, oh, no, He worked miracles. Yeah, He worked miracles, but never for Himself, never for His own good, never for His use, only for people that had a need, but He never worked a miracle for Him. So when He needed a ship, you know, if God needs a boat today, He's not going to send one down from heaven. He might ask you for yours or to borrow it. Is there anything that God could ask you for that you wouldn't give Him? He's not going to force it. He's not going to take it. He's just going to pray as He did with Peter. Verse 9, or verse 8 again, just to put it back in its perspective. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Look at this. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught or the catch of fishes which they had taken. This person that God uses will witness astonishing events from time to time that he will look back and say, I cannot believe that God did this. I cannot believe that I had a part in this. I cannot believe what God has done for the past 25 years in this ministry, and we have had a small part of it. I can't believe what God's done in this church through the years, but you have had a part in that. I have got to see some things that honestly I never dreamed of, preacher. You know, if I'd have done what I wanted to do, I would have missed so much. I would have missed it. I'd have had a nice home, nicer than I have. I'd have had a new truck instead of the one that's 7 or 8 years old that I'm driving. But I'd have probably had some other toys, and, you know, I'd have more hobbies. And you might say, well, you might look at it and say, well, Ron would have been doing better. But no. I would have missed ministry opportunity. I shared with you guys last year, I had the chance, and I were this thing of not having missionaries stinks in a way. But in a way, when I come here with those guys, Scotty's got me so programmed, I feel like I got 15 minutes when I get up here to preach. And so there's some things that you just don't share. Last year I had the opportunity to go to Iraq. And it was my first time, been trying to go in there for a while, and the Lord kept closing the door, things kept happening, and they would call and say, you know, it's not safe. Then I was supposed to go, and the main guy there, Ram, he was giving out Bibles, and they tried to chop his hands off, and he sent me the picture with his hands chopped off, and I thought, you know, I think I'll just wait just a little bit before I go. And so the time came, and Ram said, it's good right now. Why don't you come, and we'll do it. I had taken a trip around the world, and I met a guy in Amman, Jordan, and we're going to fly overnight from Amman, Jordan to Iraq, and you leave at 2 o'clock in the morning, you get there at 5. And I got on the plane, and preacher, it was a little disheartening. There was everybody on there except for myself and two other guys had all the, you know, the stuff wrapped around them and wrapped around their head. And I'm not trying to make fun of a people group. I'm just telling you, if you put yourself in a movie, you know, that's what it was like. And the people hadn't bathed. They hadn't taken a bath. They smelled terrible. And they're back and forth. And, of course, they keep looking at me. They're staring at me. I'm like, y'all quit looking at me. Why are you staring at me? And I was just a little uncomfortable. I got to the place, and Aram hadn't told me that, okay, because of the bombings in Iraq, you can't just pull up to the airport and pick somebody up. You've got to go out to a security checkpoint. So they put you in this van, and it was kind of sketchy, and I wasn't prepared for that. But I thought, well, you know, here we go. Let's jump in this van and go to this place, and maybe Aram will be there. I still hadn't talked to him. I just figured it out, and I thought that would have been a good piece of information to have told me beforehand, brother, but he did not tell me that. And so, again, we get back to the hotel. It's about 6 o'clock in the morning, and he said, tell you what, we're going to give you 2 hours of sleep. We're going to come pick you up at 8. And I thought, well, that's wonderful. So I slept for a couple hours. And when you go into the hotel, they've got a thing where you walk through metal detector. They have an armed guard there. He's got an AK-47. There's a guy with an AK around the back. And just, you know, I'm like, I'm still not feeling warm and fuzzy about this trip. And we're going to take you to breakfast. They picked us up and went to breakfast. And I walked into the bathroom just to wash my hands before the meal. And I went in to wash. I was washing my hands. And I turned around. And when I turned around, there's a guy. And he's about right there. And he's a little shorter than me. Most people are. But he was probably about right here. Maybe about right there. And he looked at me. And here's the question. He said, are you American? Well, now, normally Lee Greenwood's song would come to mind. Well, I'm proud to be an American. But on this day, I had another song on my playlist that I wanted to call Brother Scotty and say, take this job and shove it. Now, get this. I said, yes, because I didn't know what else to say. And preacher, he looked me in the eyes, and he got a big smile on his face, and he said, thank you. And I got to go in the homes of people that had lost family members at the regime in the hand of Saddam Hussein, who killed 300,000 Kurds just because of who they were. I saw the rope that they hung him, his sons with, Uday and Kusay. I saw the death certificate for them. I saw a Chemical Ali, who was one of his guys, who gas attacks. I witnessed, I sat down, I talked with people, and we were teaching we were teaching preachers. We had 17 works in Iraq. We have two guys that came across the border from Iran, and we were teaching them last things, biblical interpretation. And preacher, we began talking about the rapture, and we're talking about the rapture of the church. And these guys were like, they're looking at us, and they had no idea that there was this thing called the rapture that was going to take the saints out before the tribulation period. And they learned on that day that they did not have to go through the tribulation period because nobody had ever been there and taught them this before. And I witnessed the truth and the joy and them telling me, man, we're going to go back and tell our people what we have learned. And they knew some things, but we were able to tell them a more excellent way. And I would not take, preacher, you don't have enough money to get me to trade that experience for your money. You don't have it. And I could tell you story after story after story of what I've been able to see. Why? Because when God showed up one day and he said, hey, can I use your boat? And I said, yeah, you can have it. It ain't much of a boat. I don't think it'll hold up out there in the deep, especially if you're not with me. But if you're going to go with me and we're going to launch out into the deep together, then I'll go. But if you ain't going with me, I'm staying right here on the shore. Maybe God wants to step in your boat. Would you let him in? Maybe he wants you to thrust out a little. Maybe, preacher, he wants somebody to launch out into the deep. Aaliyah stood on the beach. I'll close with this story. Holding her infant close to her heart, tears welled up in her eyes, and she began slowly walking towards the river's edge. She had this child in her arms, and she's walking towards the river's edge. She's crying. She begins to weep. She walks further into the water, up waist deep. And a missionary, I read a story of a missionary that witnessed this event in India. And she got waist deep in the water, and she took that baby who was 6 months old, preacher, and she threw that baby into the water, only to see it drowned. It's a place, the Ganges River in India, where Hindus go, and this god, she's a goddess actually, they think by sacrificing their most prized possession to this goddess that will offer them some help. And the missionary comes after the fact, 30 minutes before she's done this, and she's there, and she's just weeping uncontrollably, standing there on the banks of the river. And he would often come here and witness to the Hindus that would travel this point, and he began to talk to her and ask her why she was weeping. And she said, look, my house was in such bad shape. I had made so many mistakes. I felt like the only thing that I could do was to give my most prized possession to show how sorry I am for what I have done. And so I took my little child and I sacrificed my child. And that missionary was able to share with her the love of Christ and the gospel and how God doesn't ask us to sacrifice our sons and daughters, but he sacrificed his son for us. And she said, oh, what wonderful news. She said, but I sure do wish you could have come 30 minutes ago. It is time. It is time to launch out, even now. Father, will you accomplish in our hearts? Lord, I believe you want to do a work in somebody's life in this church. Maybe more than one. Maybe there's someone that needs to thrust out a little. Maybe there's someone that needs to yield control of their vessel. There's an area in their life that they haven't surrendered. Maybe someone that you're going to call to launch out into the deep. Lord, I don't know. Father, all I know is you laid this message on my heart. So, Father, would you accomplish what you desire? We'll praise you for it, and we'll thank you for it, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, will you come, please?
Brother Ron, I'm going to ask you a question. When he got on your boat and asked for you to launch out a little, was you afraid? And that right there is why most people don't. Was you comfortable? Was you comfortable, though, before he? No worries, no struggles. You had it. I mean, life, but you were.
Didn't need a thing.
So why step out on a limb? There's the other reason why so many people won't. Are you satisfied? Am I satisfied? Are we afraid? I love it. God doesn't force himself on any of us. Just be willing. So tonight, what is it in your life? Maybe tonight, this would be a little. Launch out a little. This would be your first year to start Faith Promise. That'd be a little. Launch, go out a little bit, say, you know what, I'm going to trust the Lord in that. But I'm like Brother Ron, maybe there's some here tonight. He wants you to launch out. And I'm going to be honest with you, church, he touched on something here, and I haven't spoke with him. But we are in a great time in the ministry of our church for so many people to be involved in God's work. And all I'm going to ask you to do is would you ask the Lord to help you to be willing and just say yes. Before even anybody comes and asks you anything, say, Lord, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to trust you. Because I want everyone in this church to know he can and will use you. He will equip you. He will enable you. The only thing that will stop that is you say no and not let him have and say yes. Just yield in every area of our life. So let's stand on our feet.